Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Yes, I like that. Let the buzz begin. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV's Arrow After Show, here to break down another exciting but devastating episode. I'm your host, Ali Kuna Bradford, and I'm joined by two gorgeous, lovely ladies. Please, excuse me. Introduce yourself. Your beauty has stunned me. I can't talk.
You're just too heartbroken.
I am too heartbroken, but we still want to know who you are.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gorgeous number one, Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
And what are you looking for in a man?
A heartbeat.
Oh, ooh, that's a good one.
An arrow fan.
Oh, well, yeah. If you want specifics.
Hi, Yael Teagle here. That's all.
I'll take Stephen Amell. If he ever gets a divorce, I'll take one of those, too.
He has a heartbeat.
Santa. I'm sure all of our arrow listeners are like, oh.
Yeah, the men are probably like, you know what?
Girls.
We're already starting off on a wrong foot.
I know.
Guys.
But
they're shipping themselves now.
I know, right? I want to talk about the first thing. The most obvious thing is Sarah. And to me, this episode, it made it official. Because last episode, yeah, okay, so she fell from a building. There are just a few arrows in her heart, but you never know.
I mean, did you believe that she was alive?
There was hope, okay? Team Arrow is filled with very intelligent individuals, and you never know. Miracles can happen. This is TV.
As far as I'm concerned, we follow comic book rules as far as deaths go, and if there's not a body, they're not dead.
Yeah.
There was very much a body. There was one hell of a body at the end of last episode.
Yeah. But, God, when we saw her, though, on the table, just there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
staring.
Just corpse.
Yeah.
With arrows coming out, I was like, okay, yeah, this is, wow, she's really gone.
Yeah.
How did Laurel get her all the way down there?
Okay.
She's stronger than she
That's
looks.
That's what I was thinking.
I think she called someone, guys. I think yeah, she called
she had a friend. Who? Buddy call.
Yeah.
No,
Best friends help you move a body, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I honestly, at the end of last episode, I don't know why, but her death, it didn't hit me. It wasn't sad. It was, oh my gosh, let's talk about it. This week, the whole episode is, guys, she's gone. And it was really sad.
You know what surprised me? And it shouldn't, because Felicity has a heart, obviously. But I was really taken back by the fact that she was really affected by Sarah's death.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the comments she had made, and the part that was really sad for me, is watching her I don't know if she was trying to clean her or investigate, but she was holding her hand and how she was saying, you know, her hands are so tiny and so delicate. And I always thought of her as like Amazonian warrior. And then all of a sudden you hear, I was so jealous.
Oh, it
reminds me of last season when we see Sarah and Oliver like sparring and nobody's wearing a shirt. And Felicity is like, I want to do something. You remember that?
Yeah, yes.
It reminded me of that. And it was Felicity realizing that Sarah isn't immortal, that she's just like everyone else and that she was a real person. It's really sad.
I know.
I'm sad.
I know.
I think it's just now hitting most of the cast that no one's immortal.
Yeah.
You put people down, you know, they're in the morgue, you never see them again until you lose someone. And it was someone who was able to fight. It wasn't necessarily Moira's death, which that was the one that knocked me over last season. But seeing someone who is fully capable of defending themselves and League of Assassins getting taken down.
So who do you guys think did it?
Well, I had a theory the whole episode till the end. I was positive that that Merlin did it.
But he has no motive.
I don't.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, I was positive,
I always figured that was a little too easy.
Yeah,
it's Black Arrows and the Black Archer, and ta-da.
Or it was Tia.
So, yeah.
Do you think that Daddy has a right to know?
Yes.
Right now, though. Because that was such a huge deal, and I can understand because he's got heart issues, and the last thing you want to do with somebody with heart issues is send them over the emotional edge and cause more problems. But how awkward of a position for Laurel to be in.
She should have told him. It's BS that she didn't.
He's never going to get 100% better. And the longer you sit on news like this, the worse it's going to get.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's going to wait and wait and then come out at the absolute worst time because this is a CW show and
That's
we have
true.
To have Ted dramas.
Yeah.
You know, and I will say, actually, piggybacking off of what you guys are saying is he didn't even have the right to say goodbye properly.
Yeah.
And with the whole funeral, I don't know what part of this, but, you know, they had mentioned that she deserves a proper burial. Mm-hmm. No one's going to know who she is. You know, her sister's saying no one's going to know who she is. She had a recycled grave is what I got from it.
It's the grave that her, because they thought she was dead years ago. So it's the grave,
which
I was. So
okay, because
like,
I was like, why is it a fresh grave? And how did they get a tombstone so quickly?
2007?
It's her grave from way back.
Yeah.
When I thought she died the first time.
What? That's a little bit morbid.
No, I was
it's
like,
practical.
Oh, I even wrote down good call. Because they were talking about how they didn't know what to do with the body. And then I was like, oh, graveyard, good call. Wait, her grave.
Yeah.
Genius.
It's practical.
Yeah. It's smart.
I mean, if that's how you want to take it.
Although I'll be really surprised if nobody notices that a grave that's been there for 5 years
also
is now freshly dug up.
Yeah, just a little fluffy at the top.
Did they just remove the layer of topsoil, remove the layer of grass,
Gardner.
Set it aside,
Whoops.
And then put it back like a rug?
Yeah.
I think that this is definitely going to be the driving force. You know, before season two, even season one, when we knew that Laurel Lance is supposed to be the canary, but now there's Sarah, and then Felicity is involved as a love interest, and we're going, what's going on? She just seems so girly, even though she's...
Is that Laurel?
Yes.
Do it again?
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, you guys have to watch the YouTube.
For
the
those
podcast
on iTunes, you're
count.
Missing this.
But she's even though she's a cop and she's tough, there's something about her that's still soft.
She's not a cop. She's a DHL lawyer.
Well, you know, whatever. She's in the field, okay?
Yeah,
but she doesn't have combat experience.
That's
going to be the deciding factor.
Yeah.
She doesn't know how to fight.
Yeah.
But she's one of two people on the team now that don't.
But I think that this is now, well, obviously the reason why she becomes the canary, but I think it's going to be a lot sooner than we had thought because of the fact that last season she was a little bit on the softer side, that it was going to be a long period of training before she could ever become the canary. But when you have motivation like that, you'd be amazed, you know?
You didn't think that she was going to be a canary this soon?
They gave her the jacket. I figured it was going to be season three regardless.
I thought it was going to start
with expecting a death.
You know, okay, that I didn't expect, but I didn't think it'd be this soon into the season.
Mm.
Maybe towards the end of season three, because in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, she's going to have to go through a period of time of training, this, that, and whatever. But you even saw that she was ready to go out on the field.
Yeah.
You know, she threw away. I was really surprised when she was in the hospital, shows up, and she takes that guy's arm, and out of nowhere, she's just like, crack, what? What? Yeah. I will slap you like a hoe. What? Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, sorry. Oops. That was not politically correct.
Fine. Okay.
That's good. Well, anyway, you know what I mean.
I know what you
meant. She threw one down on him.
Yeah. That was amazing and terrible.
Yeah.
Wait, what was the terrible part?
She beat
the fact
him.
That was stunningly illegal, especially for a DA to come in, pull rank and family, lie about things, and then beat up a guy who's in a hospital bed. This is not lawful good. This is neutral good.
Okay.
And there's a difference. Once you lose that lawful bit, you're
And when she did that, jumping into the episode, you know, the gentleman obviously had got arrowed.
If that's shot.
There you go. That works too. He got shot. And it was like the arrow or the archer person was saying, mind your business.
Yeah.
Butt out.
Basically. That's exactly what he did.
Ugh,
he's like, this is my victim. You butt out. Because he didn't shoot her.
Right.
And I was saying, she's not on his hit list.
She has no sense of self-preservation. Oh, this person got shot. I'm just going to stand in front of the ready-made hole in the window to see who did it.
Yeah, but that's...
If he'd been interested in getting rid of the witnesses, she'd be done.
That's true. That's a very good point.
But that is the big clue that Sarah wasn't killed by the same person. Because Sarah had nothing to do with this deal.
That's true. Correct. That's true. Everybody else. I thought that was weird. I was trying to figure out this whole episode, what was going on and if it was relevant to Sarah. And the more they started talking about oil and this and that and whatever, I thought, okay, yeah, that's irrelevant unless she has a piece of information.
Right.
And they did make reference to that, that she was making deals with, I forget the name, something tech.
Ameritech.
They show up in The Flash.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was some sort of affiliation there.
But not really. Yeah. She wasn't part of the secret deal. She wasn't the three people who were involved and knew, or the four people who were involved and knew about it. And also, Komodo, his MO was one arrow.
Mm-hmm.
One arrow that takes you out. She was shot with three.
It was a statement
yeah.
at that point.
It was
just one and two and three and over the edge and the dumpster and work of art framed.
I mean, that's how you want to call it.
It was a frame job, but it wasn't on Oliver.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Hong Kong a little bit.
That was
definitely an amusing section of the television show, I will say, because at first I thought we were going to go into learning how Oliver learned how to use a gun. And that it just was a totally different opposite direction with Tommy being the hit. And I like the dynamic that he's starting to form. Did we come up with, and you can tweet me at KissMyPassport. Let me know. I don't remember the gentleman's name. It's Tatsu's husband. And I feel bad because I keep calling him Tatsu's husband.
Right.
But...
That guy.
It's like there is this human element to him, and he feels for Oliver, but at the same time, obviously, his family is on the line.
Right.
So you have to push Oliver in this direction. But I like that they came together to do that kidnapping.
Honestly, when he was explaining to Oliver that if Oliver wasn't the one to take out Tommy, that someone else would, that would be the solution. I was like, you are not thinking outside the box. Like, there are plenty of other solutions. And scaring Tommy out of Hong Kong
was perfect.
Yeah. And I can't believe it took them how long it took them to figure that out. Like, there are ways to get rid of people. You don't have to kill them.
It may not have taken them that long. We just didn't get to see it till the end of the episode.
It just felt like they were on the roof and he was saying, you know, if you don't do it, someone will. That's the only option.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Right.
Well, I think someone else was alluding to the masked person Oliver was pretending to be.
Mm.
Maybe. I think at the beginning, though, it was just too much fear of Amanda Waller. Because, again, that gentleman's family is on the line.
Right.
So I'll be dang if you just sit there, do something. Because if you don't, somebody will. And possibly that somebody is going to be him.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's
Oliver's at the bottom of his priority list.
Yeah. But I did think it was really cute. And what did you guys think about the fact that Tommy went all the way to Hong Kong just to look for his best friend?
Well, of course. He's rich and naive and fully capable of doing this, even if it was stunningly misguided and a terrible plan.
And he had nothing else to do with his time.
Yeah, that too.
Oh. I thought it was funny because when he was tied up, you know, do you know who my father is?
Yeah.
Like, okay, Draco Malfoy.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I actually was amused by watching both of you guys watch it and laughing because we were laughing a little bit about how Tommy is just so scared.
Well, so here's what made me laugh the most is at the end when the quote-unquote Hong Kong police show up.
Great.
And Tommy's like, great, you're here. And he's like, I got you. I'll take you home. Like, I'll get you out of here. Hong Kong police, when they come to save you, will not be speaking English because they know that you speak English.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what? Are you crazy? And one officer shows up?
But that's assuming that Tommy is smart enough to think through his panic. And we already know from what we've seen in season one that that's really not the case.
Yeah, but I feel like as soon as he's on his plane home, the thought would have crossed his mind, hey, wait a second, that cop was speaking English and only one cop was there to save me. Wait a second, somebody tried to get me to leave. Wait, there's something here. If he really cared and wanted to find Oliver, I feel like he would have gone back. I'm just saying, I'm not to harp on this subject. It like, just the little things. I'm like, Tommy, wake up, sir.
I think you're giving him too much credit.
All right.
I honestly do. I think a character who's a little smarter and a little more intuitive would go down that path, but I don't think Tommy is that character.
Interesting.
Really quick, I'm going to cut you guys off. I just got a tweet from Ryan Wood Allison. Thank you for joining us this
season. Ryan.
Hey.
One of the things he had mentioned is that Sarah did some work on Curac, where one of the people killed in the episode was born.
Mm.
However, the people that were killed in this episode seem significantly older than her. So I'm a little confused. Maybe you can elaborate on your tweet a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we were trying to figure out the tie between Sarah and all this hootenanny going on.
Yeah.
I feel like the only tie might have been, oh, we know Komodo's going to be in town. We know he's going to have a job. Let's make this look like something he did.
So do you think he actually was in town, or do you think it's just a bunch of people pretending? Because obviously the gentleman that Laurel was about to shoot had absolutely nothing to do.
Oh, yeah.
He said he was drunk two nights ago doing something.
In Gotham.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that his alibi held up. I think that the person who killed Sarah knew that Komodo was going to be in town within a couple of days. So, hey, make it look like him a day early. Nobody's going to look into it.
Yeah. I think one of the comments that stood out to me actually was when that archer had said, why would I lie? I would be proud of my work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, ew, you butthole.
Assassin.
Yeah, that's the one I put an arrow in, you can tell. That was my work.
Well, I mean, it's
look
true.
Look at that dead guy. Look at that dead guy.
He's an assassin. He's going to take pride in his work. That's what his livelihood is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got to be able to be like, no, look, I got the job done. So he's not going to deny it.
And you don't want to take credit for someone else's work because it's going to get you into hot water with more than one person.
Yeah.
Okay. I can see that. I can see that. Let's talk about Olicity a little bit. Yeah. You know, we had the teaser a little bit last episode with the really rough, tumultuous goodbye, if you will. And this episode, I really like Felicity. You guys know I love Felicity. Mm-hmm. And she... her speech to Oliver, to me, was so excellent because initially, yeah, she is talking about Sarah and telling him, be human, have feelings, friggin' do, like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And his response being like, you know, I don't have the luxury of falling apart. Now, do you think he's handling that properly and that is what a leader does, or should he take a moment to actually allow something to affect him?
I think that her speech was nice and all, but he is clearly affected. He is not the same Oliver we had last week, you know? He's clearly, things are different for him, just the way also Laurel was clearly affected, but looking like she was going to work, you know? I think Felicity just wants him to cry like that.
Well, yeah, because he's so calm that, you know, I understand holding it together. I'm the leader. I can't fall apart and lose it because everybody looks to me for answers. But at the same time, when you see a body of somebody at one point in your life that you thought was your soulmate, that you were in love with, that you're still friends with, come on, have a moment and lose it for a second. And even Felicity says that.
He could have cried for a minute, but like he really doesn't have the luxury to sit around and mourn.
Yeah. And everyone grieves differently. Felicity's kind of grading him on her expectations, the way that she would handle it. And Oliver evidently doesn't handle things that way. And I can see him wanting to push it off until he has time. Once this is taken care of, once we know who the killer is, okay, then I'll take a minute and I'll deal with my emotions and I'll get over it. But I think this also ties into what we talked about last week with Oliver being completely unable to balance Oliver Queen and Arrow.
Mm-hmm,
and right now he's taking refuge in Arrow because Oliver Queen is going to go to pieces and he can't do that and still have the Arrow function.
Now, did you guys catch, though, when Felicity was giving that speech, towards the beginning of the speech, I truly do believe it was about Sarah, but obviously she has her own female emotions tied in there.
Mm-hmm.
And towards the end, I felt like she was taking jabs at him about their lack of ability to be in love because here comes the emotional part. You can't be human. Just be human. You know what I mean? Did anybody else catch that theme, or I was reading too deep?
No, I think she was definitely talking about the relationship that she wants to have with him. I still stand with my statements from last season that I think it's that ship has sailed.
No.
I'm sorry. I don't think it's going to work.
Not until
he
needs to learn to balance. I'll give it a chance if he learns to balance, but I think you're right. As he is right now, no way. Felicity's not going to put up with that.
Well, I mean, she made her decision at the end of the episode. You know,
yeah.
Here's Ray.
Let's talk about
Ray Palmer and his $1.2 billion.
What a jerk.
Seriously.
What a jerk. When someone tells you no, you stop. And he may have had the best intentions in mind, and he may want to give her a good job and this and that and the other, but no means no. I don't care how rich you are. You gotta stop.
I'm gonna say something, and I really hope someone else caught this reference so that I'm not a freak. His actions of buying her company was so Christian Grey, so 50 Shades of Grey, where the man with all the money buys the woman's company because he wants to be with her. And she's like, no, no, no. And he's like, well, then I'll just buy where you work. It's disgusting.
Here's the thing, though. From our perspective, we're like, oh, yeah, it's so chauvinistic. Somewhere out here in America, somewhere in this world, somebody watched that episode and some girl said,
oh, how romantic.
I wish a man would do that for me.
But that's someone saying yes to it.
Yeah.
If she wants someone to do that for her and they do it, great, fantastic, we've all consented, let's do the thing. Felicity has been saying no, 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 no from the beginning, and he will not stop. And it's nice that he had this nice little moment, and you're not angry at me, you're angry at something else, and I'm sorry you're having a tough time. Okay, that's supposed to endear us to him, whatever. She still said no, he's still going.
Right.
I'm going to be honest, that whole conversation, that whole speech would have been so great if it hadn't started with him buying her company.
Right. Yeah!
I was like, this is a great speech. He seems like a great guy, but I'm not going to forget the fact that he stalked her. And she even points out all the things that he does. He stalked her. Those watching Stalker will understand.
It's not okay.
Yeah.
I don't care how charming and nice he's supposed to be and how much we're supposed to love him. And I know he becomes a hero and he's a member of the Justice League. I don't care. It's creepy.
I'm going to be honest. I don't see him. I know he does, but I don't see him as becoming a hero. I see him as being a villain. He comes in and we're supposed to think he's charming.
He's just arrogant to me. He's absolutely arrogant. I don't see charming. Yeah. I see I'm used to having my way.
Uh-huh.
And I will have my way with you.
I can't wait till he's a villain and people are going to hate me because they're like, he's not a villain. He's in the Justice League.
In the comics, he's a hero. I don't care. They're portraying him as someone.
Producers introduced him as a villain. I'd read an article about it saying, you know, the new villain in town is Ray Palmer. So therefore, that is their intent initially. Like you said, maybe he will change, but that's how he's coming in. I mean, who comes in and just buys your company right off of you and then is trying to buy your lady friend? You know?
It's creepy. It's creepy and messed up and wrong.
I'm trying to offer you a good job. You don't want it? You don't want to sleep with me? You don't want to go on a date? You don't want to...
But why? I'm great.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry for what you're going through, but I know you're not actually mad at me at all. People are never mad at me. No, she's...
Yeah, yeah.
She may be going through something else, but she's still mad at you because you won't respect her boundaries, you jerk. I have feelings about this.
Well,
I couldn't tell. I could not tell.
On that note, I want to take a moment to talk a little bit about iTunes for our fans and our listeners.
Yes,
guys,
yay.
Thank you so much for downloading, streaming, watching, all of that. We love it. We love it when you comment on YouTube. We definitely have those conversations. We love it when you tweet at us. And we love it when you rate and review us on iTunes. We ask one thing because we come here to talk about the show because we love it. We want one thing from you. Give us a review and a rating. If you like our show, give us 5 stars. If you don't like our show, feel free to give us 4 stars.
No, you can just give us 5 stars.
Yeah, anyway.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Yeah.
Buy our time.
Yeah. Also, leave a comment. If you don't like our show, let us know what we should be doing better. If you do like our show, we love compliments.
We do.
And we'll be checking the iTunes and giving shout outs each week for people who rate and review. So thank you. Let's get back to the show.
And if you are listening to this on iTunes and you're listening to the podcast, please feel free to watch us on YouTube because, you know, on News and Gossip, I always like to do videos and photos. It's a great way to see what it is we're chatting about.
Yeah.
So
thanks.
Boop. Our regularly scheduled program is now in progress. Okay, so I want to talk about Thea a little bit because throughout the entire show, up until the very end, all you see is poor Oliver, clueless Oliver. Thea, call me back. Okay?
You can't blame him. Someone he loved just died right in front of
him.
And he has no idea where his little sister, who disappeared during Starling City's version of the Purge, went.
Right.
This is his only way to contact her. Of course he's going to be worried.
So do you think it was bad on Roy to not share that note sooner?
Yes. And I think he chose the worst possible time to share it now.
I think, yes, he should have shown it sooner, obviously. But he did it, which is more than Laurel. And he shared it. Oliver read it. He, like, took a moment. He wasn't mad.
I was proud of him.
I think it was fine.
Yeah. Now, Roy obviously, sorry, you know, my wheels are turning right now, but Roy obviously feels to blame for this because he was the last person to deceive Thea. So at this point, it just pushes her over the edge. What disappoints me about this, and I already talked about it, so I'm not trying to spoil or anything like that, but whenever Thea does return, there has been news that she has a new love interest. I'm really curious to see how that's going to affect Roy because obviously he still has feelings for her. At the end of the episode, he's holding the phone and it's the picture of the two of them.
Oh, so cute.
Was he trying to call her at that point? I thought he was.
I think he was thinking about calling her, but he decided not to.
I'm not quite sure what had happened.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show that obviously he's still very much in love with her and she is obviously transforming into a whole new person.
Oh, yeah.
With a really cute little haircut.
Yes, I enjoyed that very much. And I knew as soon as they showed the scene in Corto and there's the fighting, I was like, wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah, of course.
And it's like, good job, daughter. That's my girl.
I'm so proud of you.
Way to burst my bubble.
Why were you upset?
Because I thought that she had killed Sarah.
Oh,
honestly,
no.
Honestly, I think it's Tommy. I think it's a Lazarus Pit Tommy
you
Merlin.
You just want it to be a Lazarus Pit Tommy.
I think that would be really interesting, especially since we are getting Ra's al Ghul.
Mm.
And that it wasn't Komodo, and that it wasn't Thea, and wasn't
Malcolm.
John Barrowman. Thank you. We're running out of people we know.
I mean, I obviously, you know, Oliver may mention it wasn't anybody in the League of Assassins because they don't kill their own.
Yeah.
However, I don't know, maybe somebody was really ticked off at her for leaving and then coming back and thinking, you know what, we don't need you.
It surprises me, though, that he said that they don't kill their own because I thought the problem with her leaving was that they then kill you. I thought that
That's when you leave, though. I don't think you're one of their own anymore when you depart from the League.
Yes.
And she was an exception to the rule when she did depart that last time because she was given that, like, she was excused properly.
Right.
But now that she's back a part of it, she is a part of them and they won't kill her.
She had left initially, right? And she wasn't permitted to leave initially.
Right, right. But Nyssa was the one who said, in the name of Ra's al Ghul, I allow you to leave.
Yes.
Well, maybe someone else was like, that's not fair.
I want back in and I'm going to kill her just to prove it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea what that was. Really quickly, though, light mention of the fact that Diggle named his daughter Sarah after Sarah. It was. Did you guys catch the fact that at the end of the episode, he's jiggling little baby Sarah and she already has a onesie that said Sarah? I'm like, when did you have the time to print that out?
Yeah.
Someone, you know, in-laws, someone found one and gave it to her, a very crafty mother-in-law.
I get what you're saying. I think it's also that they probably named her Sarah and then was like, we named her after Sarah.
That's so, that would be terrible. That's horrible.
I don't think that's ever going to come up again or whatever. No. I think that's an irrelevant, I think, storyline. But I agree, it is odd that they named her Sarah and then all of a sudden there's a onesie.
That, and even when the baby was born, I was like, that's a big baby. That was a real big baby to be born today. Like, what?
10-pounders happen.
I mean, they do, but
that baby was not newborn.
Jeez.
Well, yeah, but you can't exactly cast a newborn baby. There's all sorts of risk factors in there that most mothers will not put their brand new children in.
Stage mom.
Hey, but you know, we do see hospital scenes with the little newborns and the incubators and stuff like that.
That's a little different than having one in a crib or having one being held by an actress in an unsterilized set. Again, all sorts of risk factors.
Anyway.
All right. Yeah, we're getting a little too technical. Sorry about that.
But I'm trying to apply logic to this show, and that's a problem.
Yeah. It's CW.
Yeah.
So, but going back into Diggle, and at the very end of the episode, we had seen Oliver sitting there. And first of all, he doesn't just say Diggle. He's like, John. I was like, what? We use the first name?
I was like, no, that's Diggle. There's no John.
And you know, he made mention of, I don't want to die down here alone. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, Felicity got to you. Yeah. She made you think.
She always makes him think.
Good for her.
She's good for him.
See? What? I'm sorry. Can you say that again? She's
good for him.
Okay.
That doesn't mean they should date. They should stay friends. Whatever. She's an important part of the team.
Hiya. Get out of here.
I don't want to be in the middle of this ship war. Mommy and daddy are fighting.
I don't ship.
At all?
No.
You're watching a CW show.
I'm not 12. No offense to the 12-year-olds watching.
Hey.
I'm a 12-year-old.
Moving on.
Totally ship.
All right. So did I leave anything out? Because for me, I feel like I covered a lot of the stuff in the episode. But, you know, I talk a lot and I could have totally over-talked something.
No.
Missing moments evening.
These are all... Nope.
Did I wrap it up? Holy cow. I did that in 28 minutes?
I mean, I think so.
Wow.
We still have some things to talk about, though.
News and gossip.
Yeah.
Of course.
I know. So why don't we get into our news and gossip?
There it is.
Hi-ya.
Yeah.
Right. Secretly, I want to be in the league. Can you tell? I'm Asian. They should just let me in. Okay.
Is that how it works?
That's exactly how it works. I have pictures, of course, and videos, so let's go ahead and pull those up. First of all, I have Roy as the, I don't know why it's, it's Arrow, but you know, he's obviously the Red Arrow. And I just want to pull up because I like to do the cast photos with the comic.
Yeah.
And... You know, we didn't talk about, though, is the motorcycle scene and the fight scene because there was
They were jousting!
Yeah,
that's so funny!
It was weird to me, right?
Men!
And what I'm referring to, if I totally lost you right now, is I'm talking about the recycle? Really? Motorcycle scene!
I don't know how anybody could be lost. They were very clearly jousting.
Yeah,
that was so funny!
It was so weird! Yeah.
It was just men showing off. It was great.
But here's the thing is, the Komodo impersonator, every single time he's shooting, I'm like, hello, Oliver, like, you're ducking. You're just ducking. You're bound to get shot.
Yeah. I don't think that was the impersonator. I think that was Komodo.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
He'd just gone and tried to kill one of his targets with a single arrow, so I think that was actually him.
I think
dear old mom in Kenyatta.
I think we've lost. I'm confused. I have a question.
Okay. Yes? Answer.
Okay. The man that they captured was Komodo.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
He just said that he wasn't.
He was. They did not catch the person who framed Komodo. They did catch the actual Komodo who was in Bloodhaven during the time of Sarah's murder and came back and killed the targets on his list.
He was responsible for everyone
except Sarah.
Got it. And I got confused and I thought Komodo was the Sarah killer and this dude was just hired to be a distraction.
Evidently, he did kill her in the comics. That's my understanding from what the commenters were saying, but that doesn't seem to be the case here.
Okay. The other reference that I didn't get to point out, and I was just saying, with Roy, he had a slight small fight scene over at the Ray Palmer Gala.
Yeah.
And I love the fact... I did, when Komodo or whoever is in the black suit goes running and jumping out the window. And then you see Oliver, the Arrow run and he's like, wee! And then all of a sudden Roy disappears. We're like, wait.
No,
Roy took the stairs.
He like looked out the window, saw that they jumped.
He's like, no thanks, I'm good. Okay.
I thought he would appear downstairs.
Yeah. No, he never happened.
No.
I have not taken that lesson yet. I'm, stay away from the window today.
Yeah, you're like, that's next month. Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
He's standing in a room full of the, not the victims, but, the people at the party. they're all like terrified.
Right.
Like,
just leave, dude.
Go,
just leave.
He's
like, okay, bye, guys.
That was a brown belt technique, and you are a blue belt.
Right.
Get out.
Yeah. Right. Okay, next picture, please. Boop-a-doo. Oh, okay, so Sherwood Florist will be appearing shortly, and it is Dinah Lawrence, wow.
Lance.
Thank
Lance.
You. Dinah Lance's florist shop, and it was just a quick reference. Now, again, I'm not huge into comics. My roommate actually is, and he was a little bit clueless as to why, so maybe you guys know why they would reference this, because the only reference I know of is Robin Hood.
Yeah.
So to bring that into a DC comic, a little confused. But again, please feel free to leave the comments and let us know, because sometimes we miss stuff.
Right. He's an archer in green. Yay.
That's what I was going to go with, but also I'm going to go.
Razor?
I'm going
go
to go on a way out there reference. Way out there.
Okay,
so, not the actual reference. I want to clarify, this is me in my head. Sherwood Florist, recently on Doctor Who, there was a Sherwood Forest episode.
Yeah.
Also, Dinah, played by Alex Kingston, who was River on Doctor Who.
Ah, great.
Has nothing to do with this, just that's where it went in my head.
But it's all linked.
I just want to throw
it out. Could have been a light reference and we just didn't know about it.
I'm sure it's not. I just like to drop Doctor Who.
The pun was hilarious.
Nice.
Let's go on to our next photo, please. Oh, this gentleman.
Who is this gentleman?
Please.
Hello.
I have news. I just didn't even think to pull this up. Excuse me.
Well, we're looking, for those listening, we're looking at a photo of a very handsome gentleman.
He is a future, you know what? He is a future, excuse me, sorry. He is a future cast member. If I'm correct. Oh, this is J.R. Ramirez. Sorry for the delay. He's going to cross paths with Laurel. Possibly becoming a love interest
for Laurel.
Laurel, the Black Canary.
Oh.
It says.
Mm. Wait, it says the Black Canary, not Laurel.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I wonder if we'll have flashbacks.
Oh. Oh wait, I'm sorry. Rewind. It just says that Laurel, who potentially could be the Black Canary. Come on, we already know that's her. Yeah, okay, let's go to our next picture. Now that I am on point, sorry. Okay, now this is David Kubit, if I'm saying this correctly, and he will play Mark Shaw, who's also known as Manhunter. He is an operative who will cross paths with Diggle and is from Argus.
This should be fun.
He's also handsome for those
next,
listening.
Next, please.
It's CW show. Hello.
Okay, so, hello. Okay, so if you are watching the YouTube, you will see this. If you're watching live, if you are on iTunes, then yeah, you're going to want to watch this one too.
Let me describe to you what we're looking at. We have a handsome young man in his underwear. He has got six pack?
Oh, that's like an 18
at least
pack.
Six. Yeah.
There's a nice little V cut. Okay, the guys really don't care about this description.
He also has two fingers up in the peace sign, but backwards, and it's a Versace ad.
Versace.
We are not describing this for the guys, let me tell you. Okay, some guys.
So for the guys, I will move this conversation along. His name is Nolan Funk, and this guy is a past love interest of Felicity Smoke. Get it, girl.
Oh, episode 5.
What? Oliver, what? Be jealous.
I would say, why would you leave? But the men in Felicity's life tend to be jerks.
That's true. That is true. Looks aren't everything. Moving to the next photo.
Wait, let's go back.
What? Oh, she just wants to look at the naked man.
Yeah, I was like, no. Went back.
I did go back. Last week I was talking about Tatsu, and initially, I don't know how this happened, and I think maybe there's just wrong references on the internet, so I apologize, but I had made mention of Steve Aoki's sister, Ryla, playing Tatsu. And when we watched the episode, I thought, wow, that doesn't look like her. And it's because it's not her. It's actually this young lady right over here, and her name is Ryla Fukushima. Okay, so I think the other girl's name is not Ryla. Excuse me. Ryla, like I said, say that three times real fast.
She is in a lovely dress.
She is. And if you are a fan of Pitch Perfect, I'm not going to lie, I really like that movie. She's the little Asian girl that she talks just
but
like
that
this.
Doesn't...
She tries to say you can't really hear her.
Is it?
Yes, that is her.
Wow, are you sure?
I am absolutely 100% positive.
Okay.
This time I am right. And I just wanted to make that correction because I referenced the wrong young lady last week. Sorry. Okay, do I have anything else? I think I have a video. Do I not? Oh, just a reminder. Stephen Amell's charity, F Cancer. He's still selling the shirts, so please go on, look for them. 100% of the proceeds go to the F Cancer Foundation. And I have a video, which we are being told to wait one moment, please. So we're going to skip the fancy music for predictions. I'm going to let you guys give predictions while we get our video queued up.
Oh, nice.
So Who wants to go first?
You do.
Oh, okay.
What?
She just volunteered.
All right.
Under the bus.
Straight under the bus. Thank you very much. Well, we do know that we are going to see Thea next episode. We are going to attempt to get her back. And honestly, I have no idea how that's going to go, but that should be fun and interesting. I am expecting a throwdown with the Black Archer.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Oliver doesn't know he's alive.
No, he doesn't. And I think it'll be really interesting for him to see that, but also, too, the fact that Thea is now on his side.
True. Alliance swap.
And I think the theory will be, did you just get brainwashed? What's going on? And why are you here? And I will not leave without you. You are coming with me.
Wait, but Oliver knows that he's her dad.
True.
So it's why are you here?
Well, why are you doing this? There's no need. I'm already living a life of danger. You don't need to either.
Also, not knowing that he was alive. I think that's going to be a sticking point.
Huge shock. Huge shock. Yael, do you want to add some words before I show the video?
Yeah. I think that Thea and Malcolm will, when they're ready, come back, not with Oliver. I think by the end of the episode, he's going to go back empty handed.
So you think that Thea is going to be part of like the dark side? Do you think that maybe the Dark Archer is not so dark anymore and he's going to team up with Team Arrow?
Oh, no. I think he's going to do his own thing. And I think she's going to be his sidekick.
Interesting.
But I think they'll eventually get back, just not next episode.
Okay. It will be on their own time frame and likely for his purposes, not for hers.
Of course. I can see that. So let's get into this video. It's actually the video that I was telling you about. Now, just to give you a setup for this, it's going back and forth between Stephen Amell and John Barrowman and talking about their version of a story backstage. So let's take a look.
I went, Oliver, you went, Malcolm. So John says all of his lines, and then as he's walking away, just before he goes around the corner, keeping in mind I'm the only person that can see him, he goes like this. Paul's a method actor. Paul's like that. So he's just seeing me, but Steven's like this. And I start laughing. And Paul Blackler looks at me and goes, what the hell is your problem? Paul's going, what's the matter? What are you doing? He's like, Barrowman! So that, in a nutshell, is what it's like to work with John. And I have been promised by him that it's going to get worse before it gets better.
They do keep playing this, if you could. Hold on.
So I told Steven last night, get ready. Because I'm going to come with Series 3 and we're going to have a good time.
For those listening, you're missing some great stuff.
We're getting
it's
a really
basically
nice...
Broadway posing.
Yeah,
you know, it's Stephen Amell really trying hard to impersonate the dance move that John Barrowman was clearly a lot better at. But anyways, I thought it was really funny, so I wanted to show.
Barrowman's trained.
Yeah, this is true.
I like that they were talking about how Paul stays in character.
Yes,
and what I just found out at Comic-Con when I got to meet the cast this last summer is that he's English, which I didn't know. And so they're explaining how he stays in character and he stays with his non-English accent.
Interesting.
Yeah, he speaks with his New York accent, which is hilarious.
I don't know how much concentration that takes. You know what I mean? Because sometimes words just come out and I'm sure they come out with an accent.
I'm sure when he's yelling or whatever... Because, you know, when you have an accent, you're working on not having an accent. When you are drunk, angry, or sleepy, you're not focusing, and so it comes out. So I'm sure they have to retake every time he's angry. That's my theory.
Honestly, I'm not surprised that Barrowman is my understanding is that is the correct reaction to him.
Yeah.
Interesting. I would love to work with him.
Angry
he seems like a lot of fun. And hopefully we'll get to see him. In the future.
What? He might come on
what?
The show? Hint,
what?
Hint.
Yes. Teaser? Maybe. Anyhow, we already did our predictions, so why don't we go ahead and find out where everybody can follow you guys.
Awesome. I will begin, if that's okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You can find me online at yael.tv. That's yael.tv. There you'll find information about the beautiful stylings from Siren's Boudoir. You can also find me on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Google Plus at yaelteagle. That's yaeltygiel.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter and Tumblr at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I am also on Z Nation and Sword Art Online here at AfterBuzz.
And I'm Ali Kona Bradford. You can find me at Kiss My Passport. If you watched last episode, I am still doing Global Dance Domination, so please find me at _GD_domination. Google Global Dance Domination. Watch the trailer. If you love it, I would love if you tweeted at me, told me what you thought about it, and if you donate, hey, that's okay too. Either way, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Arrow After Show. We will see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.